football on Off the Ball.
You're right to say that. I could even go so far as to say I'm an anorak, I'm a geek, I adore football. It's very rare that I can get enough of it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
This is Off the Ball Breakfast,
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Deirdre Gogarty, Ireland, Irish legendary boxer, first female world champion, of course, was with us May of last year. And I'm delighted to say is back with us in the studio again. Good morning, Deirdre. How are you doing?
Good morning. Great.
Welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Great to have you. And in such brilliant circumstances as well. This would be the highlight of my career, you said, when we spoke about the possibility of a statue being unveiled in Drogheda when you were with us the last time. And it's happening.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's amazing. I mean, I'll never get my open top bus homecoming, but the statue says it all. So I'm thrilled.
That's class. How did we were talking about it. There's obviously a Deirdre Gogarty committee, a legacy committee set up who are funding this and trying to make it happen. When did you get the news that it was eventually in train and it was going to happen?
Well, it was interesting because at the time I was I'd lost my coach, the one that managed my career in the States, Bo Williford. He died in 2019.
Right.
And the same year, Joe Leonard from Drogheda died, and he was the first coach that allowed me in the gym to train. So I was actually very, very low at that time, because Bo Williford was my voice in boxing. I felt I was always trying to explain myself and what I'd done and my career. And he was kind of that voice that went out there and told the world who I was. And I just kind of felt I was forgotten about. And a friend of mine asked, well, what, they must have something in Ireland on you. I mean, you're their first female world champion boxer. And I said, no, I mean, there's not so much as a plaque on a wall in Ireland. And so I was quite low at the time. And I actually stopped talking to journalists for a while because I felt so, I just didn't feel up to it. And Bo's son, Christian, said, this guy is trying to get a hold of you from Ireland. And I said, oh, Christian, I'm just not up to talking to people right now. And he said, no, I think this is different. I think you need to talk to him. So I talked to this guy and he said, what would you think of having a statue? And it turned out to be Kieran McIver. And I talk about a miracle man because in a space of 3 years, he made it happen. So, I mean, it's just unbelievable what God does behind the scenes when you think all is lost, when the tide of fortune will turn.
I can tell the what it means to you, the emotion in your voice and in your face as well. This is the words of it being the highlight of your career is not a flippant phrase. This means everything to you.
It does, because I always feel like I've always been trying to explain myself. I've always been trying to garner appreciation of trying to, understand what it was like at the time to try to be a female fighter and all the rejection, all the fights that fell through that wouldn't be allowed to happen and having to leave Ireland, which I didn't want to do. I really wanted to stay based in Ireland and just all the sacrifice I went through. And the statue kind of just sums it all up and it validates everything instead of me constantly trying to explain it.
Did you feel that at the time, Deirdre, or were you, when you're in the middle of it, your legs are spinning to make this thing happen when you're in the middle of it and then it's afterwards you can go, Jesus, why did I have to fight like that to make this thing happen? Or did you know that in the moment?
In the moment, I always felt I'd break through and things would just happen. You know, I just felt, oh, if once people see me fight and they see the skill of the women and how exciting the fights are. And I was a good knockout artist. I was a big puncher. So all my 90% of my wins by stoppage. And I just thought, you know, they'll have to, you know, people see what I can do and they'll have to, they want to see it happen. I never thought it was going to be so hard and take so long.
The people who did see it did feel like that, if I remember.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it started to, when I moved to the States and promoters started to put us on cards, the crowd loved it. It's not that the promoters really wanted women boxing on the card, but when they saw how much the crowds loved it, then they started to add a female bout to almost every card. And then, of course, when I fought Christy Martin, it just blew up because, you know, millions of people got to see women really can fight.
Is it too stupid a question to ask why it took so long or why that resistance was there?
I think there was a thought that it was just a phase. It would just come. There wouldn't be enough competition. It wouldn't be good quality and it would just fade out. My vision of it was that women would just be given the opportunity just to be allowed in the gyms to train and compete. Once they start competing, I felt it would all build on itself, and more champions would start emerging, and household names like we know one very well from Ireland too, you know, and it just, you know, here comes another household name, and it just keeps building and building. And that's what I saw for the future of women's boxing, but seemed like most other people didn't see that future in it.
Is that why, Deirdre, it feels like a bit of a circular moment? Because I think the last time you were in, you spoke about the fact that so many people didn't want or didn't think women could fight or should fight. I think you spoke about as well about how your mum wanted you maybe to get involved in something like golf instead of boxing when as a kid. Does that make it feel like more of a circular moment that there were so many people who maybe doubted you is the wrong word, but doubted that women should be fighting in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand it. You know, I mean, it is a very tough sport. It can be dangerous. But, you know, I felt I was just born with the love of boxing. I knew other people would have the same love of boxing. You can't stop someone from doing what they love and what they're kind of born to do, even if it's dangerous and risky. And I knew women could box at this great level that you're seeing now. So I think now everybody, you know, they obviously it's still a risky sport, but they can accept that women can box at such an elite level that, you know, it's validates it.
Were you involved in the process for the statue at all? Like, presumably they have to take a photograph or a particular pose?
The,
how does that whole thing work?
The sculptor, Lori, she actually flew out to the States on her own money, and she took pictures and all kinds of photos. So she, you know, we were really involved working together, measurements. I mean, she's such a professional and such a perfectionist. And it's just amazing the people that have Kieran put together to make this happen. I mean, he couldn't have picked a better person. She had done the other two statues that are in Drogheda. One of them is Tony Sox Burns, of course, the Olympic boxer. And I used to see that statue and dream maybe one day when I'm dead and gone, they might put one up. But I, you know, just to have it happen, and I don't think I really will believe it till I see it tomorrow.
Have you seen this statue yet? Do you know?
I've just seen photographs.
Okay.
So it's still not total reality yet.
That Tony Byrne bit is amazing, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
That is amazing. You're walking by the statue thinking, this could be me one day. Mm. That's incredible. Do you get it? Because, like, typically, you know, they try to capture a typical pose of somebody. Do you get much insight into, because I think your arms are locked.
Yeah,
is that right?
I did pretty much pick the pose.
Did you?
And the reason I picked, it's a bit of a cliche pose for boxing with the arms up and all, but I just wanted to capture that victorious moment because there were so many low times, so many just really difficult times, mostly in the shot. You know, all the work is done in the shadows where nobody sees you. And I wanted to capture that victorious moment because I feel like I've come out into the light now.
It tells people you're a champion as well.
Right, yeah. So, and I like that I don't have the belt on because really the statue is much more than about a boxer. It's about having a calling in life and following your passion because life is like boxing. I mean, they're almost, you know, it's a metaphor for life. And I want it to be an inspiration to anybody that has a calling, because they all take pain and sacrifice, especially if you're opening a door for people in future generations. Maybe you don't benefit at the time, but at least you can see the next ones don't have to go through as much, and then the next one doesn't. And then so the talent is brought up the way it should and nurtured the way it should be.
Mm. When you were here the last time, and you've outlined it again, obviously, in your frustration that you're not celebrated enough, I think, which is fair enough, given your achievements in the sport when you were here in May last year. Have you found that trip at that time, obviously this again has raised awareness, attention around your story and around the sport?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah, it's been very healing, very, very healing.
Has it?
I didn't realise, I suppose, you know, because I was covered quite well in the newspapers back then, but there was no social media, so you know, I guess I didn't realize how much people really didn't know about me. I just kind of assumed they kind of knew, but they just weren't that interested. But I found out they really didn't know.
Which is probably the better of the two in some ways.
Yeah.
Ideally, neither, of course.
Just thinking as well, the beautiful thing about statues generally is that it leads to further questions usually, like a lot of, especially for kids and for young girls who are going to look at this statue, they're going to be asking their parents, who's that and what did they do? And it's probably going to lead to... hopefully, you'd imagine in Drogheda and beyond, little girls and little boys getting into sport, getting into boxing. So it's going to be a legacy that lasts generations.
So. Yeah, I mean, I always loved inspirational stories. You know, the first one that captured me was Jack Dempsey and then, of course, Barry McGuigan. I was very much inspired by the people that went ahead. So I hope it's going to be an inspiration to others. That's my dream for it, that anything can be overcome if you just keep at it.
Is Barry somebody you've had contact with?
Yes, I have through the years, you know, he didn't really care for women's boxing in the beginning. In fact, we were both on a Pat Kenny interview and I was thrilled he was on, but he was really kind of saying, I don't know if I really like the idea of women getting hit. But I think now that it's come so far and women are boxing such elite level, I think everybody has to admit, you know, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you can't ignore it. It's been forced in. So the boxing career was then, you touched on it the last day, and I actually, watching a bit of the interview back yesterday, Deirdre, couldn't believe that we didn't ask you a follow-up question when you mentioned Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I couldn't believe this thing had slipped past.
That was on us in fairness.
Yeah. What's the story?
I worked my whole boxing career. I had a day job, you know, because I had to pay bills. There was no money in women's boxing. Mm. So I went into art and graphic design. And one of my first jobs was at Murakami Wolf Dublin. And one of the first projects was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the very first TV series as a cartoon.
Wow. So you were an animator on that?
I was a cell painter and an in-betweener briefly.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
I had a cell painter for, about 2.5 years on it.
Well, so was there just one aspect of that was made in Dublin, or was that all made?
No, there was all the first few series that were made
in
Dublin.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow. And then partly Korea and then Dublin, but kind of back and forth.
Okay.
But yeah, we did a lot of the early ones.
Because it's a culture, like we mentioned it earlier on, and the comments are flooding in. We were guessing like what colour was Donatello or Leonardo.
Apparently they're all red, by the way. Some of the comments have said they're all red.
Well, I mean,
red
Deirdre would, if we could
ask
Deirdre.
Raphael's red, of course.
Yeah, okay.
That's incredible. So, and what line of work was after that? Did you stick in animation?
Once I left Dublin and I moved to Louisiana, there was no animation companies in Louisiana, so I went into graphic design. So I worked full time jobs and trained for world title fights.
It's an exception.
Not ideal.
No.
Whoever designed, by the way, the jacket, I want one of these.
Yeah.
There's a retro feel to it. It's brilliant.
Dangerous Deirdre Gogarty. Is that a latter day nickname?
I figured. I didn't like it at the time, but I thought, it's kind of catchy. So I'll put it on there.
Got the alliteration going on. So Scotch Hall, Drogheda tomorrow is the place to be.
That's right, at 12. And I still can't believe it. I can't believe it's, you know, it's one thing to talk about a statue, but to do all the work that actually involves raising the funds and all that Kieran has done, it's pretty phenomenal.
There are people that we have in studio at various points, Deirdre, and it often comes to mind that there should be some sort of a national recognition scheme, probably some heightened version of a President's Award or something akin, but clearly not the same as the MBE, OBE knighthood situation that they have in the UK. I often feel that there are people who are at a level that should be in. Gary O'Toole is one that I would speak about at a time. You are definitely somebody who should fit in that category. Mm-hmm. And the quicker they could rush something through like that, the better. Best of luck tomorrow. I'm delighted for you because I know it was a big factor. You mentioned the word healing there again. It was something that we spoke about at length when you were in with us the last time. And I hope that this recognition tomorrow goes a little bit further, brings you down the path a little bit further than that.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sure it will.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for coming. Come back to us again in 18 months' time.
Make it a regular thing. Thanks, Deirdre.
Thank you.
Thanks, Deirdre.
Thank you.
Best of luck tomorrow.